Good morning, everybody. Good morning. And especially good morning to all the children here. It's really nice to see you all. And I'd like to say welcome also to those who are watching online, and especially those at Littlewood Court. And anyone who doesn't know who I am, I'm David Bale, and I'm one of the elders here. So it's very nice to welcome you in person and online. We're going to go into the Blether now to find out what is happening in our group of churches. And after that, there's just a few intimations Helen's going to give about Christian Aid. And also I have an intimation about session meeting. So we'll go into the Blether now.
Very warm welcome to our joint parishes worship today. Wherever you are, it's great to have your company. Before we go to worship, we're going to hear a little bit about what's happening around our various parishes. So to start off, Ewan, what's happening in Clooney and Monie Musk?
Hello folks. There's not a lot happening this coming week. We're looking forward this Sunday to welcoming Tozzi to Monie Musk Church as I'm going up to Chapel of Beery. And just in case anybody gets confused, I'm not running in the half marathon that's running around Chapel of Beery today. I will be watching them as they run past. As long as the congregation I'm watching them are preaching, that's the main thing for me. But this week we have our usual main music on Tuesday and then midweek Bible study. And just again, a wee bit of advance notice on the 4th and 5th of June, the Platinum Jubilee, there's a number of events in the village. On the Saturday, there's History Trail and a visit of the church and afternoon tea. And on the Sunday, there's a community barbecue and picnic, and all are most welcome to come along and celebrate together the fellowship of being in a community. And I think that's all that I need to mention just now. And I hand you over to Stella at Blether Chapel.
Hello, and welcome to everyone. And I thought Ewan, you would take the opportunity since the run was going past to preach for a couple of hours while the roads are closed, but perhaps not. No, it should just impact those leaving the church, and there will be deviations and diversions around, so it shouldn't be too much of a problem. The only thing from our neck of the parish is the plant sale. Keep on trying to grow plants and deliver those to be sold on at the plant sale at the Chapel of Geary Village Hall at 10 to 12 on the 28th of May. And that will be a lovely coffee morning for everyone to come along and buy up some of your summer bedding. And now over to Helen in Kemney.
Thanks, Stella. Do you know, it's been lovely to see more people coming to church now that COVID restrictions are easing, and we'd like to extend a warm welcome to the community to come and worship with us next Sunday. For Christian Aid Week, Kemney are holding a sale on Saturday the 21st between 10 and 2 p.m. in the church centre. There'll be plants and crafts and home bakes for sale. Loaves and fishes will also be open for breakfast and lunch. And then we've got an evening entertainment planned for Friday the 27th at 7 p.m. where we've got music from Paradise Express and the Ukulele Band, two local bands. Suzanne, Earls and Fish's manager, is walking 25 miles in the kilt walk for Christian Aid. And you know, it would make her training easier and her step bolder if she knew she was raising lots of money for Christian Aid. So to find out how to sponsor Suzanne and for details of our events, please visit the Kemney Parish Church website. Finally, our thoughts and prayers are with Joshua for a speedy recovery. And now over to Tozzi.
Thank you. In Kindo, just a reminder of the Christian Aid Week, which starts this Sunday. So a reminder of those who want to donate through e-envelopes and those who want to donate through envelopes, you are welcome. And if you need more information, you can visit our website and our Facebook page. As far as that Christian Aid is concerned. And very happy that this year Christian Aid is focusing on Zimbabwe. If you want more information to know about Zimbabwe, I'm available and I will tell you. Now I hand over to Neil to continue with other announcements from Kindle.
Thank you. Thank you, Tose. Very, very good of Christian Aid to work their themes around us, don't you think? That's in the year that we have somebody from Zimbabwe with us, they decided to focus on that. That's great. Also at Kintore, just to say that and this Sunday in the afternoon, there'll be services in the sheltered housing at PLC and Early House. Next Sunday is our communion, our monthly communion service. So a reminder about that. And next Sunday is also the last Sunday that I'm with you folk here in this neck of the woods for a while. My daughter and I are walking the Camino de Santiago, and we leave on the 23rd of May. And we'll be away walking for five weeks. And we just ask for your prayers that we remain healthy and COVID-free for that period. So that's about us. And back to Sheila at Echt in Midmar.
Thanks, Neil. Well, our focus, just like yours, is on Christian Aid this week and next week. In Echt Hall, after worship in Echt today, there will be a soup and sweet lunch, and that's open to anybody in the community or other parishes to come and join us with some fellowship and in raising funds for Christian Aid. The collection buckets for Christian Aid will be available both this Sunday and next Sunday as well. And then on the 29th of May, the fifth Sunday in May, will be a joint worship service, a praise service in Echt Church, where all our congregations will be coming together. But there will be more information about that next week. But as we go together now to worship, we're mindful that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we do rejoice and we are glad in it.
Just one other intimation before Helen comes up, and that's about the session meeting on Tuesday, which will be a hybrid meeting here in the church or online, and it'll be 7:30, and there's just one item for discussion, and that's the basis for union between the group of churches in our part of the parish. So Helen.
Thank you. Good morning. Just to reiterate what was happening, I've mentioned everything that's going on this coming week and beyond for Christian Aid, but we're still looking for donations, please, of plants, home bakes and raffle prizes, and most importantly, people. We need some people still to man the stalls, but we also need people to come and browse and buy. So it's next Saturday's our first event at the church centre, starting at 10 o'clock. If you have anything to donate, you could drop it off at Loaves and Fishes while it's open, or to myself or to Muriel, or come on the Saturday. That would be lovely. Thanks very much.
I do know for certain that there'll be a stand with 9 pots of Shasta daisies for sale next Saturday. They're organic, well-grown and well-loved, so you'd better come early. They'll go great quickly. So this is the Christian Aid service, and we're going to be looking at the work of Christian Aid and also thinking about how we look after this world and look after one another. But before we come to worship, or as we come to worship, I'm going to read a few verses from Psalm 95 in our call to worship. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. We're now going to sing, We Are Here to Praise You. We can pray. Let us draw together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we are here to praise you, our Father. We wish to bring you our heartfelt love, and we praise you for your creation, and we praise you for the redemption of your creation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for joining us together in this church to be part of your family, and to be part of your family here in Kemnay, across our group of churches, across Scotland, and indeed across the world. We praise you for having the confidence to come into your presence, to give you our worship, and to offer our prayers. May you be pleased with our worship this morning, and may we grow in our love and our commitment for you. And Lord, as we come together, we do remember our minister Joshua and the family, and we pray for his healing, and we pray that he will be restored to us fully fit in due course, but soon, Lord, we ask. And Lord, we ask you, as we come to you in confidence, we do ask for your forgiveness for when we have failed you this week. Help us to learn from our failings, and we pray that your Spirit will enable us to grow closer to you and that we will follow your will more closely. And we thank you for the families who are here. We pray that you'll bless the children, and thank you for the teachers and helpers who look after them in our Sunday school. And may you bless them too. And thank you, Lord, that your love is here because you have promised that your love is here. May we listen to you, and may we be blessed by you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, because we have the children here, we're going to sing a song, which we're going to sing through once. It's one that you've sung quite a few times. Then I'm going to ask you some questions about the song and what it means. So I hope you really pay attention to the words of the song, because I'm going to ask you some questions about it. I'll leave the words up, so that you can remind me of what they are, because I'm sure you'll all remember that. But then we'll sing it again afterwards. Okay? So there are actions, I'm sure Jim is just about to say. Yes, see? Communication between us. And
They're all age actions.
Yeah. Okay, right, okay. That means I probably have to know them as well. I can't hide, I'm at the front. Suzanne and Helen, I have to be honest. So if I was a bit slow, it's because they were slow too. Okay, so if you sit down, I'll ask you some questions. Now, the song says that God's love is like a circle. How can God's love be like a circle? What's a circle like? That's it, it goes like that. Now, when you look at a circle, can you find the end of a circle? No. So if you look at that part of the circle, is there an end there?
Yes.
Microphone. Right, okay. So is the circle ending there? No. Does it end there? What about there? That's a good place. No, it doesn't end. So it goes on and on forever, doesn't it? Always goes round and round. And this song says that God's love is like that circle, that it never ends. So that means that his love goes on forever and ever. Now, have you ever tried to think of ever and ever? You think about next week. That seems a long time away, doesn't it? Next year, well, what's that mean? Forever and ever. I remember thinking about forever and ever when I was your age. And my brain nearly fell out. You might have thought it has done, actually, by the way I'm speaking. But I just thought, oh my goodness, how can for something go on forever and ever? And then I thought, God's been here forever and ever. He has got no beginning and he's got no end. And I thought, that's God, and he loves me forever and ever. So beyond next week, beyond next year, beyond hundreds of years, just forever, just like the circle. Now, like a circle, it says God's love is like a circle big and round, and that's the action. Okay, that's the action. And do you think the circle is big enough to go round me? I mean, I'm fairly big. Do you think it's big enough to go around me? What do you think? Do you think the circle's big enough to go around? Yeah, okay, it's big enough to go around me. Now, have a look around the church. Can anyone guess how many people are here? Have a look around the church. Have a guess of the sort of number. Hello? Yes, Orla? Yes, that's a very good answer. Heidi? 40. Okay, so it could be about 40 people here. Guess how many people are watching online? Online? Well, we can't see them. And they won't hear me because I'm not on the microphone. And that's the adults. So, there are lots of people watching online. Do you think God's love is big enough to go around all them? Yes, okay, good. You've got the idea, haven't you? So God's love is big enough to go around all the people are watching online. How many people live in Kemnay? Do you know? Okay. How many? 428. Right, gosh. I think it might be a bit higher than that. Anybody know? Yes, Joshua. 1,525. Well, oh, it's getting higher. That's good. It's actually probably about 7,000 now, isn't it? Something like 4,000. Okay. Well, God's love. Do you think God's love is big enough to go around 4,000 people? Phew, good. I'm really glad about that. What about Scotland? Yes, good. You're really getting the answer there. Yeah, so God's love is big enough to go around Scotland. And what about the world? Is God's love big enough to go around the world? I mean, come on, the world is big. You think that, yes, God's love is big enough to go around the whole world. So if we're all surrounded by God's love, and that love goes on forever, and we're in that love, should we love each other? So if God loves us, God loves Jim, even when he reminds me that I'm not speaking in the microphone, if he loves us in that way, should we love each other as well? And how can we love each other? What sort of things can we do to help each other when we love each other? Yes, Oliver? Prayer, that's a really good way. We can pray for each other, can't we? Yeah? And what else have you... What other ideas you got? We can help with looking after dishes, you know, washing up dishes. Have you ever thought of that? Whew. Yes, I mean, that's love, isn't it? That's real love, when you help with the dishes. So you can help in all sorts of ways, and we can help people across the world. We can't always go there and help them personally, but we can help organisations like Christian Aid, who are helping people who haven't got enough to eat, who can't grow enough crops, and things like that. So we can show God's love. And God's love goes on everywhere, and it goes on forever, but he uses us. So that's how God's love is. So we're going to sing this song again, and then you'll be going up to the church centre.
And we'll sing it through twice.
God's love is like a circle, big and round, and then you see a circle, no ending can be found, and so the love of God.
Thank you to Helen and Suzanne for keeping me right. I found it hard not to laugh because I was always slightly behind you. Yeah. So we're going to see a Christian Aid video now about somebody called Janet in Zimbabwe, and it gives you a feel for the theme of Christian Aid this week and just some of the work that they do.
Matambudziko tingati makuru ingangova isisi wasiwana wadiki paribi hapana zvatanga tisati takufunga zvakawanyanda Shekari tichidya zvinhu zvakatiomera ndainzwa moyo wangu uchirwadza kuti mhuri yangu ichapera kufa asi nekuda kwamwari havana kufa zvinhu zvakatibatsira zvinhu zvakatiwandudza Tineita kuti ndifare ndino kuona mhuri dzangu dzakasimba ndanga ndichivaperekedza ndinoshuwira kuti neremangwana vachazondi chengeta kana wachinge waona rudzidziso rwakakwana
really reminds us that climate change is real and that it has real impacts on people. And Christian Aid is helping people with the consequences of that climate change, helping them to grow crops which are more resilient to drought and so on. But it's a tragedy that we have climate change because of the greed of the developed world. We're going to sing a song now called If the Fields Are Parched, which we did use for the first time last year. And it really talks about the impacts of climate change, but also what our response as Christians should be, how we need to take action in our own lives and actually try and reduce our own carbon emissions and actually try and put pressure also on our government to do more to actually combat climate change. So we're going to sing now with If the Fields Are Parched.
Oh, Taken from the New Testament, from Luke chapter 10, and reading from verse 25. The parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." Amen. May God bless this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Fraser. Let's just pray. Lord, help us to understand your word to us, and help us to be challenged and encouraged by it. Lead us in your will, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. During the last two services, which have been led by the band and by Will Buchan, we've been thinking about the challenges facing the Church of Scotland and indeed across the West. As we are aware, our congregation here in Kemeny and our group of churches are very much involved in this challenge. Yet Will reminded us that God will build his church despite all that opposes us and all those challenges. He will build his kingdom in Britain and across the world. And the band reminded us that God will use us to achieve his purposes, using gifts and abilities that he has given us in the power provided by the Holy Spirit. This is God's purpose, and it will not be thwarted. As today is Christian Aid Sunday, this morning I wish to continue the themes that they brought to us and extend them further as to how we can play a small part in God's desire to build his kingdom across the world. The work of Christian Aid is very much to do with challenging the injustices and the impacts of poverty in many countries. And it works to bring God's love and hope in practical ways to suffering communities in many countries in ways that we can't do personally. I chose to look at the parable of the Good Samaritan to focus our thinking on this theme. It is a very familiar story, but one that is worth coming back to, as it teaches us a great deal about real love for God and for one another, whether those around us or those much further afield. It is very relevant to Christian Aid Week. So let's have a look at the story. First of all, who takes part in the story? The text tells us that in addition to Jesus, the main protagonist is an expert in the law. He's an expert. So what does the adjective, an expert in the law, tell us about the man? Well, clearly he was a man who studied the law in all its details, and he studied it from the scriptures. He'd probably done this over many years, and over this period he would have fully considered the Ten Commandments and all the ceremonial and moral laws that are laid out in the various books of the Hebrew Bible. Not only would he have been able to recount them all, but as an expert he would have considered and discussed their meanings and how they should be applied in everyday life. So he was an expert. So why did he approach Jesus? Well, we're told from the text that he wanted to test Jesus. Now, we actually don't know if he was motivated by an open-minded desire to find out if Jesus was genuine, or if he wanted to try to prove that he was a charlatan. We just don't know the motives. As an expert, though, he would have been the right sort of person to test Jesus. Would Jesus measure up to his own high standards of expertise? Whatever the motive behind it, he had the expertise to judge what Jesus said in response. So in order to test Jesus, he approached him and asked the following question. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, first of all, note that the expert addresses Jesus as teacher. And given what follows, I think the expert's use of this title shows that he recognised that Jesus is followed by many because of his teachings. So he called him a teacher. He didn't necessarily think that he was an expert on the par with himself who could teach him anything, but he recognised that he was a teacher. So he wanted to test Jesus to see if he really was a teacher worthy of the title. So what do we make of his question? What must I do to inherit eternal life? This question goes to the heart of the Judaic faith for the majority of the Jews at the time, their belief in eternal life. There were a few, the Sadducees, who didn't believe in eternal life, but the rest of the Jews did. It's a good question because it's an open question with much scope for Jesus to get tripped up or give a satisfying answer. As I said, we don't know the motive behind the testing. I like the way that Jesus responds. In his wisdom, Jesus answers the question with a question. What is written in the law? How do you read it? As he's turned the tables, he's asking the expert, how do you read the law? Well, as an expert, he could have gone into a very elaborate answer to demonstrate his knowledge. He could have really showed off, couldn't he? But instead, he goes to the fundamentals of the law and his answer, and this was something that Will highlighted last week again, was that love your Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. And what do you make of this answer? And what does it reveal about the expert? Well, Jesus said, you've answered correctly. So clearly it was an excellent answer and reveals that this expert was not just a legalistic expert in the details of the law, but understood that all the laws in all their details were there to support two fundamental purposes. The laws weren't an end in themselves, they were there for a purpose, to show love and reverence to the Lord and to those around us, our neighbours. I think this answer shows a measure of genuine faith in the Lord on the part of this expert. So Jesus did reply, you have answered correctly, do this and you will live. So Jesus had turned the table. He had turned the tables and given his approval to the expert. I don't think the expert expected that, do you? But the expert did recognise the change in the balance of authority, and we are told that he tried to justify himself. It was an uncomfortable place for him to be, suddenly, the one who was speaking to someone with more authority. So his follow-up question appears to be a very clever one, the sort that only a real expert could have thought of asking. Aha, so who is my neighbour? So what does this question imply on the mind of the expert? Well, it implies that there are neighbours who we should love as ourselves and other people who do not count as our neighbours. If they are not neighbours, surely we don't need to love them, do we? That's what's implied. So in response, Jesus goes on to tell a parable. Instead of giving a direct answer, he goes into a parable. And as I said in the introduction, this is a parable that is very relevant to Christian Aid Week, and indeed to every aspect of our lives. So what are the parable itself? Well, in the parable, we read that a man was going down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. So it was a perfectly ordinary journey. But we don't know anything about the man, do we? We're not told any details about who the man was. We actually don't know his ethnicity, his beliefs, or his purpose, or anything else about him. We actually don't know, do we? He's just a man. And I think this lack of detail is actually highly relevant to the story, because the man was a man, an individual person made in God's image, a status that was true no matter who he was, no matter what his ethnicity, what his background, what his economic basis was of his journey or anything like that. He was a person. Somewhere along his journey, this man was brutally mugged by robbers and left for dead by the side of the road. So he was there half dead, we're told. And fortunately, people came along. So who were they? Well, first we are told very specifically that the next person to arrive at the scene was a priest. And what do we know about priests at the time? Well, the priests themselves were direct descendants of Aaron, the brother of Moses. And Aaron was the first priest to serve in the tabernacle after the Exodus from Egypt. Only he could go into the presence of God in the most holy part of the tabernacle. And thereafter, only his direct descendants could go into God's presence in the temple that was built once they had settled in Israel. As priests, They were responsible for all the religious functions involved in the various worship ceremonies carried out in the temple, and they were effectively the representatives of the people of Israel in the presence of God through the offering of sacrifices and worship. Theirs was a very crucial role and one which carried a huge responsibility. And it was also one where you'd have thought that they would have been acutely aware of the need to serve God and the people. But what did this priest do? Did he go up and help the man? Did he give him his solace and his care? No, when he saw the naked, beaten up man by the side of the road, he passed by on the other side. He ignored the man. Well, fortunately, after he'd gone, another person came along. It seemed to be quite a busy road. So the next man was a Levite. Like Aaron, this man was a member of the tribe of Levi. But unlike Aaron and the priest, he did not number among the direct descendants of Aaron himself. The Levites also served in the temple in ensuring its function and organization, but they were not directly responsible for the religious practices. Nevertheless, their role was critical for the proper functioning of the temple and was religious in purpose to enable the people to worship God. Again, you would have thought that they would be acutely aware of their calling to serve God and the people in love. But what did the Levite do? He passed by. He ignored the seriously injured man and passed by on the other side. Very sad, isn't it? So can we have any sympathy for their actions? Well, they probably did not know if the man was alive or dead. If they touched him and found him to be dead, they would have become ceremonially unclean and been barred from serving in the temple until they had undertaken the prescribed cleansing ceremonies. If he was dead, then there was nothing they could have done for him anyway, so why take the risk? Also, they had no idea who the man was, just as we don't, whether he or not he was a Jew. I mean, he could even have been a Gentile. And if he was a Gentile, they'd believe that they'd helped him. They could have gained and compromised their ability to perform their functions without going through the ceremonies of purification. So they ignored him, believing the importance of their respective roles in serving God in the temple were more important than helping an unknown man in dire need of help. Their apparent love for God and their role in the temple seemed to them to outweigh their need to love a man in distress. And that's not an attractive response, is it? So who came along next in the story? Well, Jesus does a very clever thing with this parable, which is not at all surprising given who Jesus was, but he chose a Samaritan to feature next. A Samaritan was much despised by Jews. Samaritans did have a form of God worship, but they did not follow the prescribed traditions of the traditional Jewish practices. The Samaritans also occupied land that had formerly belonged to the northern tribes of Israel up until about 722 BC. And that was when the Assyrians conquered the northern tribes and took them off into exile, and they settled the Samaritans there in their place. So the Samaritans were occupying land that should have been Israel in the eyes of the remaining tribes. And the Jews resented the Samaritans as a result. So they had two reasons to despise them. So Jesus chose a character who was very different from the expert who was testing him in his story. In the minds of the Jews, including the expert, a Samaritan was unlikely to do anything good. We are told that when the Samaritan saw the man, he took pity on him. He treated his wounds with oil and wine and bandages, put him on his donkey and led the donkey to an inn. There he nursed the man, but the next day he had to continue on his journey. Did he abandon the man there, thinking, well, I've done my bit? No, he didn't. He actually didn't expect the innkeeper to take on the responsibility. Instead, he retained responsibility by paying the innkeeper 2 silver coins to look after the man on his behalf. That was the equivalent to 2 days' wages. So it was a considerable amount. He then promised to reimburse any additional expense to the innkeeper when he returned. So what was the point of the parable? Jesus asked the expert in the law, which of these 3 do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And the expert replied, the one who had mercy on him. He had no choice, did he, but to admit that it was the Samaritan of all people who was the neighbour. In so doing, he also admitted that the representatives of his own religious establishment had not been. That's a big admission, isn't it, on part of that expert? By this exchange, Jesus had turned around the question, who is my neighbour, and replaced it with, to whom should I be a neighbour? So it's no longer, who is my neighbour, but to whom should I be a neighbour? The priest and the Levite professed to love God, but did not love their neighbour by being neighbours to the man in need. The Samaritan of all people showed that you cannot love God without loving your neighbour. It was he who fulfilled the law summed up by the expert, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. For Christians, the 2 parts are absolutely inseparable. You cannot love God without loving your neighbour. Who is my neighbour and to whom should I be a neighbour have the same answer, don't they? The answer is anyone who needs the love of God. And that, of course, means everyone, irrespective of who they are, and indeed whether they're friend or foe, whether they're near or far. After this encounter with Jesus, the expert was told to go and act in the same way as the Samaritan. And I hope that when he left Jesus, he had more expertise in the law of love than when he arrived. And I think he did, because he had been challenged to face up to his own prejudices and realise that they were nothing in the face of God's love. So how do we apply this story to ourselves and to the Christian Aid Week? Well, as Christians, we are all called to love God and our neighbours. We all have gifts and abilities with which we can express this love. As Joshua has said many times before, there is no such thing as an ungifted Christian. And I think some of us find that very hard to believe. But those gifts and abilities really do differ from person to person. But they are all there, every single one of them there, to express God's love. And very importantly, we can express and show God's love for our neighbour by simple acts of kindness in our day-to-day lives. We don't have to do grand things as Christians. We can just do simple acts of kindness. We can visit someone who is unwell, or has been bereaved, or is in need of comfort. We can pray with someone, as Oliver had said in an answer to a question. We can pray with someone and for someone who is in distress. We can ask after the well-being of someone who you think may be in need and respond to that need. We can give encouragement to someone who has done well. We can forgive someone who has upset us, and by approaching them to make peace. Or we can share our faith, the reasons for our faith, to those who ask. These and many more examples are the means by which God builds cohesion between us and our fellow Christians and our communities. They also deepen our relationship with Him. These personal acts of love, in the love of God, are a fundamental expression of our Christian lives. So let us not underestimate their importance to the health of our church. We can also love our neighbour by supporting the organisation of our church as God gives us the ability. But both our personal acts and any work we do for the church have validity and value in the sight of God. Our role is to respond to God's calling to express his love in whatever way he leads us as individuals. And of course, our neighbours are not limited by any creed, colour, race or name. They can live near us and they can live far away. Janet, who featured in the Christian Aid film, is just as much a neighbour as someone down our road or in our family. If we have the means to help her and others like her, we have an opportunity to do so by supporting the work of Christian Aid to provide the practical help we can't do in person. And we can do this by sponsoring Suzanne in the Kilt Walk, supporting the Christian Aid sale next Saturday, or by making a direct donation. We can support their mission to our global neighbours. We can also lend our support by taking action to reduce our carbon footprint and urging our governments to act more urgently in the fight against climate change, because that is so much affecting so many millions of people across the world. Jesus summed up the law of love in another parable in Matthew, where he told those who loved him, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." And Jesus also went on to say, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Truly, we cannot love God without loving our neighbour. May we obey the promptings of our Lord to love him and our neighbour in all the ways that he enables us, both individually and collectively. And by this means, God will build his kingdom here in Kemnay, in Scotland, in Britain, and across the world. Amen. We're now going to sing the song, "When I Needed a Neighbour," which follows on very well from the parable of Good Samaritan. now going to pray for the world. After I've led the prayers, there's going to be a slight difference in the Lord's Prayer in that there's a DVD or so a video produced by Christian Aid which has a global Lord's Prayer. And so that'll be played afterwards and we'll join in with the Lord's Prayer. And if you pray with your eyes open, you'll be able to see the people from around the world who are contributing each line. So that's been produced by Christian Aid for this service. So let us gather together, let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to love you with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our mind, with all our being. And we thank you that you've called us to love our neighbours as ourselves and to bring your love to our neighbours. We thank you for the work of Christian Aid and the actions that they do to bring that wonderful law into being as they respond to crises across the world, helping people in their moments of need, but also helping people in more chronic situations like Janet, who are suffering from the effects of global warming and drought. Thank you for the ways that they're helping them to become more resilient. And Lord, thank you for the work of Christian Aid in encouraging communities and give them hope in practical ways, and also to bring people to faith and encourage faith. We pray for the workers on the ground, for wisdom, respect for those they're helping, and also for protection for them. And we do pray for governments across the world to truly care for their people and to have the means and the resources and the wisdom to know how to do so. And Lord, as we think of the impacts of climate change, we pray for the end of the drought in East Africa and South Africa and around the Sahel, and the terrible impacts that it's having on people, but also the droughts and the severe weather that's affecting so much of the world. We do pray that our governments will act more urgently to overcome the causes of climate change and to reduce the carbon footprint and other pollutions that we put into the world. Forgive the way that we damage the world through our own greed and our own short-sightedness. And Lord, we pray that we will share our resources much more equitably. Forgive the greed and selfishness of the developed world. May we share the wealth of your creation and use the resources responsibly and sustainably. And Lord, we pray that as COVID continues, that the developed world will again share both our vaccinations and our treatments for COVID. And Lord, that there will be a real desire to help rather than just make a profit. And Lord, we also ask for North Korea, where COVID has been admitted to be there. And Lord, we know that the Koreans are in such a dire state already. And we pray that, Lord, through this, perhaps North Korea will open up and recognize that it needs to be part of the world rather than isolated. Pray that they'll accept the help that's been offered by South Korea, and that, Lord, you will change the heart of the regime there, that it will stop oppressing its people and stop really abusing them. And Lord, that your people in North Korea who have been under such great danger will be freed. And we pray again for Ukraine. Lord, our hearts cry out to you to bring peace there. It breaks our hearts to see the tragedy that's unfolding and has been unfolding over such a long time now. Please break the hubris of the Russian regime. And Lord, bring truth to bear that the people of Russia themselves will oppose the war. And Lord, there will be peace and reconciliation and rebuilding. And Lord, may your church across the world bring your gospel of love, peace and forgiveness. And Lord, may you transform more and more lives as we love you with all our hearts, with all our mind, with all our strength. and love our neighbours as ourselves. May your church shine for you in this dark world, being your hope. So let us draw together now and sing and pray the Lord's Prayer as led by the video.
Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come,
your will be done,
on earth as in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread.
Forgive us our sins.
As we forgive those who sin against us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours,
now and forever.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Our closing song is another one which was written for the Christian Aid service. It's the song of Kingdom Come.
We have a voice, and when we sing, we
may your kingdom come, as we love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and with all our mind. And our Lord, as we bring your love to our neighbours, as we love our neighbours as ourselves. And now to him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us before his glorious presence, without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.